Wolfpack Marketing is proudly brought to you by The Internship, awakening the marketing channel you never knew you had.
Welcome, everybody, to this, the first episode of Wolfpack Marketing, a name which we'll unpack a little bit just now. With me in the studio, I have Nicholas Krull, expert on LinkedIn and employee advocacy.
Thanks, Kev. You're kind.
Welcome. And Influential, no, and and Dolanchek, who is an expert on everything influencer marketing, and the reason that she's here will also hopefully become more apparent, and no pressure.
I do like Influential, though.
Okay,
keep calling
cool.
me that.
Lacquer.
Trademark that.
Yeah, I should.
So this podcast series, which we'll be producing, and we'll do it on a sort of a frequency, possibly bi-weekly basis and releasing, is all about employee advocacy, which is not a sexy term at all.
Nope.
It's really a horrible term.
It's gross.
It's a very descriptive term, though, in the sense of it sort of says what it does. But we want to try and maybe just like avoid that term per se and rather unpack how and what employee advocacy is, and hopefully how it could be deployed by organizations to their benefit. So the term Wolfpack marketing might now, just on the basis of that description, also become a little bit more obvious, in that it talks about, if you look in nature and wolf packs, how they operate together as a pack for the greater good of the pack, so that they all work in harmony and synchronize their movements as they're hunting. Which then has obviously a much better effect in terms of them achieving their goal in that instance, which is obviously the kill. Likewise, on Wolfpack marketing, what we want to talk about is how a group of employees or people within an organization can work together to achieve a marketing objective for the company utilizing their own social media assets. And that's effectively the analogy. And so we're going to go with Wolfpack marketing, like it or not.
Cool. I don't like it. I want to wear Wolfpack.
I like it.
Anne likes werewolves, but
I do.
Yeah, but like, you know, so you outvoted. So we're not going with that. But let's start off, Anne.
Yes.
If you don't mind, and let me ask you the question, in reference to influencer marketing, is employee advocacy or the notion of utilizing employees' social media assets in this instance to create a marketing channel? A marketing communication channel, are they influencers? What's this thing, influencer marketing, and how does it relate back to this topic?
Well, for the short answer is it's absolutely influencer marketing, because what is an influencer? An influencer is anyone who can change someone's perception, opinion, or purchasing behavior, and that's literally every single person within their tribes. So when you look within your organization, you already have a tribe there. We all work there, we're all experts, hopefully, if you employ it correctly.
Yep.
And those people live and breathe your brand. And they have such immense power to actually change people's perceptions either about your organization or make people aware of what you are selling or doing.
So I suppose perhaps if I could sort of, you know, the thing that I'm missing maybe in what you've said is this notion of utilizing social media, because is where we spoke about, you know, and we talk about it in our program where, quite frankly, biblically, Eve was the first person to be an influencer. You know, it's like Adam here, Charles,
sure.
Apples, really, or some people say the snake was, but let's say like Eve was the first person to be, let's put it that way, to be an influencer. Adam, like, it's a really cool apple, don't worry, it all, you know, and what did he do? Yeah. He went and he charted because it came from a trusted reference.
Correct.
And what we have in today's society, though, is with the proliferation of social media channels, but on the back of technological advancements, you know, the internet, cell phones and so on, is the ability to have that at scale through your social media channels.
No, absolutely. So as you were saying, word of mouth was and will always be the best form of marketing. And I mean, that's how Adam got into trouble, right?
Yeah.
Someone, a trusted reference, told him to do something and he did. And today, social media has put it on scale where we have access to peers on like a ginormous scale. So what we have the ability to do, especially in employee advocacy, is to elevate those experts in your community or in your tribe as a company And generally put it, I think you guys use mainly LinkedIn because it makes sense, especially when it's business to business. And just elevate that expertise so people know who to go to when they think of some or other service they need. The first thing they're going to think of is this oak on LinkedIn that they see all the time.
Yep.
Who's got great opinions,
yep.
Who is knowledgeable, and who's credible in the end of the day.
Okay. So, I mean, that's an interesting sort of segue, if you like, Nick, into this discussion. So Anne mentioned quite correctly that we focus predominantly on business to business or business to niche, should we call it, market. And so LinkedIn makes perfect sense there. Just give us a little bit of a sort of a viewpoint from yourself. So employee advocacy is not necessarily linked to business. It can be business to consumer. I mean, give us a sort of a roundup from your point of view.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think because we're talking about employees, we're talking about companies, and because we're talking about social media, we're talking about people operating in their personal capacities, representing the company that they work for. So when the conversation turns to which platform is appropriate, you know, that would depend on the business objectives. You know, where are this business's customers hanging out and spending time? Where are their eyeballs? Where's the attention coming from? So I think in the context that we're speaking about today, LinkedIn for business is perfect because this is where business people expect to consume content around business topics. So, you know, if you're selling a consumer product and you're marketing to the end user, the man in the street, perhaps another platform like Facebook is perfectly appropriate. But, you know, back to the concept of it and this term employee advocacy, you're making advocates, brand champions of the people that are supposed to represent your brand anyways.
Cool.
Yeah. So I suppose at some point, and maybe that's an episode down the line, we can actually just hone in a little bit on LinkedIn and the benefits of that particular channel versus some of the others and what it can be used for and how to use it and so on. So we can,
sure.
Maybe that's a good thing to go in, to go and discuss. So I think the one question that a lot of people have when we speak to them about employee advocacy, or the concern, if you like, that a lot of people have, is this notion of letting your employees loose. You know, so when I started in corporate, which was a hell of a long time ago.
In the 60s.
Yes. So I got to shave these gray hairs.
I'm joking.
I mean, it's not that far. I started in the 90s, like, so early 90s. I started, of all places, at the SABC.
Yeah.
And when I started there, they gave me this like 45-page thing in triplicate to sign that I would never say anything to anybody about anything that happened in there. And if I did, I could be taken to task and even, you know, disciplined and sent on my way. There was a guy in a corner office, a big walnut-walled office with gray shoes, he was the only person who was allowed to say anything to anybody about anything that happened. And that was very much the thinking in those days.
Yeah.
And so a lot of us, less of you, have grown up with that culture, if you like, of not allowing employees to say things on behalf of the company because of the trouble that it potentially causes. So I mean, like, what's the play there? Because now we're saying, you know, we're busy saying, no, let's get these employees to say things about the company. And on the other hand, we're saying, well, don't.
Well, I think it's a fine line, right? And I think even our generation grew up with signing a heck of a lot of things from HR when you start somewhere to say, yes. And just kind of add in, don't say anything on social media because you can also be taken to task for that. So people are, I think, really scared the moment you go, cool, go post about your company. But I think that's where a program like you guys, the internship, comes in very handy, who hold your hand and guides people on what they can, what they shouldn't, and what they should do.
Right.
And kind of give them a schedule, I suppose, of guidelines.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that we always say, and when that discussion comes up, is that we always say, listen, your employees have all, you know, everyone's got a cell phone, right? No one doesn't have a cell phone. In fact, one of the stats that we show off is that more people own cell phones than toothbrushes.
Ooh.
Internationally. So that's a factual stat, which is quite...
I'm worried for people's teeth.
Terrifying, but you don't have to worry about their communication because they've got a cell phone. So the point being, though, that cell phone represents the analogy we say is like that's a loaded gun that everyone's got in their pocket.
100%.
And so rather let's, A, teach them how to use it and how to point it and when not to shoot in particular and what or ammo, if you like, to use, so that they don't make the mistake and just go willy-nilly on you without them actually thinking about it. So that's one of the things that we actually impart, bits of the knowledge.
Yeah, and I think that too, but also people, because of this historical fear-mongering and corporate, you know, red tape that we've all been exposed to, people are scared, you know, not only to contravene any kind of company policy, but also maybe insecure in themselves.
You know,
they might also think, oh, am I allowed to, number one, like we've been discussing, but what gives me the right to say something?
Yeah.
You know, what gives me the authority in my industry to say something about my industry, about my company, about what I'm, you know, what our companies are trying to sell or services we're trying to provide? So by giving people permission is one thing, but also to, you know, encourage them and to reinforce in them that they actually are the right people to be spreading this narrative, you know, and times are changing. It's not just the company that's allowed to say these things or that is saying these things. People's perception in the marketplace is also changing. We've spoken about word of mouth and that type of thing, and people want to hear from people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to open the doors for them to come into this conversation.
Yeah, you raise a few interesting points, because the one thing that we, and we also talk about perhaps in later in episodes is this, is some of the, if you like, the byproducts of employee advocacy. Obviously, the main focus there is a marketing
tool,
channel stroke sales generating tool, but there are lots of other things, and one of the issues there is employee engagement that comes out of this, because, and often we've seen with the principals in the businesses that we are dealing with, how surprised those people are and just how knowledgeable the staff actually are about the program. The staff themselves are like, geez, I didn't know I knew that much more than everybody else, you know, because you've been working this so long, it's like institutionalized knowledge, and you've forgotten what you've, like, you know already, you know, so it's important.
I think that's a really interesting take on it. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
Kind of by doing that, you're also instilling that confidence in someone to go, like, geez, I actually am an expert, but I never realized, correct, you know?
And the thing is, I mean, exactly what, you know, going back to this whole influencer discussion, these conversations, that, you know, you'd go and have a vegan bra.
Thank you.
With Amelia on the grill or something, on its own space on the grill, so it doesn't get any meat.
My Linda McCarthy things. Yes. Thank you.
But the point being is that in those, whether it's a social event or a club or a church, whatever, doesn't matter. You'll have the discussion. What do you do? You know, oh, well, this is what I do, and where do you work? No, I work at this pump place, and geez, pumps. That doesn't sound very. Yeah, it's absolutely interesting. We do everything from pumps for hospitals through to pool pumps through to massive pumps in dams, you know, whatever. So that becomes interesting. And people have those conversations. They tell their stories. And all we're doing is we're saying, okay, listen, carry on doing that, but just have that exact same discussion, if you like, with your tribe on social media.
And I think that's really important what you just said, like telling stories. It's not about just putting out a bunch of facts and hoping people will pick up on that, but it's actually telling a story and a narrative that people will engage in.
Yes.
Like when you are at a braai and having that conversation.
Correct. And you know that the story is working because people are attentive and listening. Otherwise, you change that story, right? And it's one of the things that I know that Nick's sort of hobby, I don't know if it's a bugbear or hobby or but it's one of his things is that he's very much always preaching about making sure that whatever you put out on your social media, because obviously there's a feedback loop, but it's not like if, you know, as I'm talking to you, I can see your eyes dropping and you falling asleep and I can change. Exactly. So there is a delayed, even if it's almost instant, there's a delayed reaction. So the point that I'm making is that Nick talks about making sure that there's value to the audience.
And I think 100%. people forget when they're posting on social media or on any kind of digital platform, be it WhatsApp or LinkedIn or Facebook, that there's a human being on the other side of that conversation. And it does tend to – it concerns me, you know, when people are speaking and telling stories in a way which is different to them conversing in real life.
Yeah.
Like I don't know why people feel there's a disconnect, you know, because it's in analog – person to person speaking, or digital, you're typing a story out to someone else. And I think imperative for me to, when trying to build some kind of strategy or implementation or invite people to participate in something, to try and get people to have the mindset to remember about that human to human interaction. so that people on the other end reading it, for example, will relate to whatever that content is.
Because that's all what it's about, right?
Sure. Identify with it, you know. Feel like whatever you're saying is relevant to that other person.
Yeah.
Because at a braai, you wouldn't talk, you know.
Bullet point.
Correct. Or, you know, completely above the head of someone listening, you would make it relevant to that person.
But do you not think that comes
every second,
from...
every word capitalized is there?
Oh, it's like my biggest pet peeve.
Okay.
Capitalize every letter or like the whole sentence or a couple of words.
Listen, I went and looked at some of my PowerPoint things and they're a lot like that. So, I mean, you hurt me. But
I
anyway, so
hate your PowerPoint.
No, I'm talking about the headings. Headings. So anyway, you hate that. Okay, but we digress.
It's a grammar thing.
We digress. But which leads me, and perhaps this is a conversation which you both will be able to add some value to, is talking about added value, is this, why don't we preach, though, instead of getting all these employees just to drive this narrative that we want about the company, why don't we just do it from the website or from the corporate LinkedIn page?
Very simple in my mind is that I can sit around this table, have a conversation with two other human beings, but it wouldn't be appropriate for a brand to come and sit down next to me.
Okay.
I don't relate to a brand. Brand is a company. It's an organization. It's an inanimate thing. I'd much rather chat with another person around a topic. You know. So from a narrative point of view, when a company says something, you almost expect that company to always be self-promotional. It's what we've come to expect, right? It's advertising. Yeah. It's a billboard shouting to the world how great this organization is and its products and its services are the best, which we've come to expect. And we kind of phase it out now. You know, we block it out of our brains. We've got ad blockers on our PCs. But counter to that, if someone comes and sits down next to me and says, have you seen this brand new phone from Company X? It's the best thing since sliced bread and this is why.
Yeah.
Much more believable.
So, and that is a narrative in my mind that has changed in the last, let's say, 40 years. You know, I agree completely with you, Nick, that the brand concept, but I actually do think that in 1965 or 1970, Coke could have sat there and had a chat with them. We would have listened, but we're not interested in listening to them anymore.
No. So what happened was, social media, good old Zaki, came in 2006 or 2007, and he gave us the first social media platform, or the biggest one. Yeah. Well, not the first one, the biggest one that everyone signed up to, good old Facebook.
Mm.
And then it was Twitter, and then it was Instagram, and now you've got a platform for everything, right? And with that, people have access to so many peers. Back in the day, we'd literally have our friends, our families, and the tribes we are in to kind of ask advice for, and brands and things.
Yes.
Now, you literally have a whole internet where you can put out, like, I think I want to buy a fridge. Which one is the best? Tell me your stories. And people will come. Don't buy that fridge. It's horrible. Mm. Buy this one. I've had a fantastic experience. And like Nick said, if a brand comes in there and self-promotes, we'll shut it down. Yep. We'll literally block it because we do expect them to say we're the best. But now I've got 50 other people that I've access to say, actually, no. It's not right.
So 100%. I mean, and I think that's, you know, there's a lot that we can talk about. There's a whole freaking essay we can write about that, the demise of the influence of the brand, if you like. But I think because one of the things which is inherent in what you're saying is also the fact that now when Colgate says, okay, use this toothpaste, it'll make your teeth whiter.
Yeah.
It's not just about, okay, well, Anne does it and you'll tell me he does it. But there's also some nuthead out there who says, rubbish, it made my teeth black. Look 100%. At this photograph. You know, so it almost straight away, it stops the conversation of the brand. Whereas previously, like, Coke makes you happy. Yeah, it does. Let me drink that stuff. You know,
100%.
So,
simpler times.
Yeah.
I think you got that potential immediate feedback.
Yeah.
You know, from a crowdsourced entity, the internet, right? Like you say. So there's always going to be someone who's got a perspective.
Mm.
You know, and I think these are the people that are trying to influence us, whether they want to influence us or not, but they do. And that today, because of that enormous amount of feedback possible, it's become more powerful than what the narrative of a brand could put out on its own.
Exactly. And to Kevin's point, 40 years ago, if Coke sat next to you and told you something cool, it's going to take them a year to have like bad things come out, instead of like, say, the instantaneous. Yes. Kind of flashback.
And those bad things could
be. Do you know how much sugar is in that stuff? Yeah. So, exactly. So,
don't drink fizzy cold drinks, kids.
Yeah. So, I think just bringing this back to the to this discussion around employee advocacy, that horrible term, and if someone's got a better name, please send it because we'll use it.
I really want to use another
term. Like, I don't know, I was thinking something like, I don't know, staff, I don't know what, I don't know. No, I don't know. I have no
honestly
idea.
Honestly, I have no clue how we can.
Because it does actually say what it is, but it's just like, yeah.
It's not sexy.
Nah. But is bringing it back to the question then is, Nick, is why... Why are, I mean, and a lot of what we've spoken about, this trusting staff and staff trusting themselves. And so why are people not utilizing this channel that's just sitting there waiting?
I put it down to human nature. Mm. You know, human beings are insecure. They're subconscious. They're lazy. You know, all these bad things that we can say, but the net effect of that is people don't participate in something if it's not really important to themselves. You know, if they don't believe that it's going to benefit themselves, especially using their personal profiles online, why should they put themselves out there? And especially if they have a little bit of fear regarding rejection, you know, what kind of feedback are they going to get? Are they going to get enough likes? All these kind of things. It's very subconscious. People don't really think about it in too much detail or too much depth. But there's a problem around participation and many challenges surrounding that. You know, do I get a bonus if I do participate? Am I punished if I don't? What's in it for me? You know, is this going to have career advancement potential for me? All these kind of things. People haven't thought about these things properly and companies haven't addressed these things properly. So I think from an employee advocacy perspective, you know, it should be taken into context as a structured program rather than a off-the-cuff, willy-nilly thing that just can happen. You know, it has to be managed and driven and looked after, you know, from all kinds of aspects. You know, what content is put out there? You know, you mentioned hunting as a pack, as a wolf pack.
Yes.
You know, if everyone in the business is telling the same story, the story has impetus. If everyone is telling their own individual story, the message is diluted. Right. So there has to be some kind of structure behind a platform and a program to make it actually as successful as possible. And without a managed, structured program, chances are you're not going to achieve much.
Do you not think people also just don't know where to start? So like, this 100%. Sounds amazing, but I don't know, so I'm just not going
to
do it.
Of course, people like a roadmap. You know, you say to someone, get your staff to post on social media about the business.
Okay.
Everyone will agree with the concept. Yes, great idea. But very few will actually be able to say, right, what's next? How do we do this?
No, exactly.
Now, people want bite-sized chunks.
And I think also one of the not the roadblocks, but one of the obstacles that we find as well is that the people in the business who know the most, obviously the people that have been there the longest or the people that the founders or whatever, and they're often in an older generation that hasn't grown up with social media.
No, exactly.
The younger lot are quite familiar with social media, very comfortable with all of these things that you spoke about, but putting themselves out there, they've already got rejected and they've got likes and things, and so they
no likes.
Yeah. But so you have this older generation who you know, who not necessarily even on social media channels. I mean, I'll case in, you know, sample one sitting right here. I mean, I'm very active on LinkedIn for business reasons, but I have zero presence anywhere else. I'm pretty
You're
useless.
On Instagram, don't lie.
I am on those things, but I mean, like I said, I've like posted 7 times in 10 years or whatever. No. But so it's like,
doesn't count.
So, yeah, exactly. I'm very.
He's a stalker.
Moderately inactive on Twitter.
You're a stalker on there.
And I don't have a Facebook profile.
Yeah.
And I have no FOMO for that. So it's also about converting those, because you have those people who have all the IP and all the knowledge and are quite confident, to your point about putting it out, but they don't know or are keen to use the tools. And so it's about marrying the two and getting those guys back into the social media and getting the other guys up to the IP levels. And that's where the sweet spot is.
I can imagine that it's petrifying for someone who's much older, who didn't grow up with it, who's never been on social media, who kind of only knows what his grandkids are doing on it, to all of a sudden say, okay, you're going to start talking about your business on social media.
And not just that, but forming the habits to do that. So so one is like, okay, take the first step. But once you've taken the first step, to continue the practice.
No, it's terrifying. I can imagine.
Absolutely. Okay. So look, I think there's some great things that we've spoken, we're like prompted for some episodes, which we'll unpack. We'll be inviting guests to the program as well, people, experts in the field, as well as clients of ours that have actually utilized the program, and speak to them candidly about how it's worked for them and some of the obstacles and the struggles and the successes. So we'll unpack that, and then we'll also unpack, like we spoke about, you know, how to use LinkedIn, what is the right thing, what is this, what are the successes for programs, and what are the pitfalls for the programs, and we'll unpack all of that. So I appreciate that you guys have given me some of your time.
Thank you. I have just thought of another name for employee advocacy. Yes,
shoot.
Internal influences. Hey?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, we'll put it out to vote.
I'll wrap my mind. No, we're going to
think about it, because the early days, you're just throwing it out, but I do like it.
Thank you.
So, I mean, like, you know, guys, with internship is kind of where we're going, because that's where the name comes from. It's the, like, the, as an intern, you know, exactly. Get on the ship and as an intern. So, internal influences. People.
It's a start.
Yeah, you know, people might like being called influencers. I think people like being called
influencers. People love that.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely. I mean, it's a buzzword, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Nick, try that in your sales pitch and let us know.
100%.
Thanks, buddy.
Would you like to invite your team to become social media influencers?
Internal
influencers for your business.
Not social media influencers. Internal influencers.
But social media influence does sound sexy, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that's, yeah, but that's like B2C.
Broad. Yeah, that's broad. Okay, guys, but thank you very, very much for your time. Really appreciate it. And, yep, guys, we'll hope you enjoy this podcast. And look out for our next one. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye-bye.